Well, in 2004, my wife's uncle surprised us with one of the greatest gifts that we have ever been given. He drove in from another state, and he brought us a car. And it was the costliest gift that we'd ever received, and it actually met a very great need at the time. I was just starting in financial services. And so I was making house calls, and I was driving this rusted out 1980 Chevy Citation. And so get this. In that car, I would drive up to people's house and invite them to let me show them what they could do with their money. Because clearly, my Chevy proved that I was having financial success, and wouldn't they be lucky to learn my secrets? And so this gift of a car couldn't have come for me at a better time. I'd like to invite you this morning to think of one of the greatest gifts that you've ever received. Just take 10 seconds right now, and you're going to have to narrow it down quickly and choose one. And it actually can be a little bit hard to decide, because how do you define the greatest? What makes a gift the greatest? Is the greatest gift the one that was the most costly? Do you choose the one that was the most needed? Or maybe the greatest gift is the one that was the most loving? So go ahead and choose one. And I actually want to take a little survey right now. And you got to put your hand up at least once. If you chose a gift in part because of how costly it was, raise your hand. Nobody. Oh, we got a couple. Okay. All right. If you chose the gift because of how needed it was at the time it was given to you, let me see your hand. All right. A few more on that one. And then lastly, if the gift you chose was chosen because it was just so loving, let me see your hand. Oh, wow. Loving takes it in a landslide. Well, today I'm going to ask you to compare that gift to the greatest gift that was ever given. Because the story of Christmas is actually the story of the greatest gift ever given. And you say, Barry, what gift is that? Well, the most famous verse in all of Scripture answers that question. And it's found in John chapter 3, verse 16, and we read this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What I'd like to show you this morning from that verse is that Christ is the greatest gift that was ever given. And I say that for three reasons. There's more than three reasons, but in this verse, there's three reasons that jump out. And first, it's that the gift of Christ met the greatest need. We actually see in this verse that God gave Christ so that we would not perish. Now, contrary to popular Christmas lore, the greatest need is not to be good enough. So Santa wisdom says, you better watch out. You better not shout. You know, Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty and nice. And then the song goes on to say, he knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. According to Santa wisdom, if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then you make the nice list and you won't have coal in your stocking. But in reality, the need's actually much greater. It's actually, get this, it's actually too late to be good. The story is told of a small boy who was writing a letter to God about Christmas presents that he badly wanted. I've been good for 6 months now, he wrote. But after a moment's reflection, he crossed out 6 months and wrote 3 months. After a pause, that too was crossed out, and he put 2 weeks. There was another pause, and then that was crossed out as well. And he got up from the table, and he went over to a nativity scene that had the figures of Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And he picked up the figure of Mary, and he wrapped it gently in a cloth and put it in a drawer in his room, and then he went back to his writing and started again. Dear God, if you ever want to see your mother again, see, this boy had come to a realization. It's the realization that it was too late to be good. And that's actually a very important realization for all of us, because Santa wisdom contradicts God's wisdom. Santa wisdom says, it's not too late. You can catch up before Christmas. Just do a little extra good. And you know what? If you run out of time this year, well, you know, the calendar resets every year, and there's always next year. But Santa wisdom is false. Santa wisdom actually has two huge problems. First, God's calendar doesn't reset any more than a murderer's criminal record would reset. God's not like this unjust judge who says to a convicted murderer, well, you know what? I see you haven't killed anyone this year. And since the calendar resets and all your murders took place before 2018, you make the nice list. No, past crimes stay on the record. And the second big problem with Santa wisdom is you don't make God's nice list by having more good than bad on your record. The only way to make God's nice list is actually to have no bad at all, ever, on your record. And that is a problem. Because there is not a single person here who has a clean record. Oh, sure, we try to forget those times that we lashed out in anger, but they happened. You could try to forget about the lies that you've told. You could try to forget that you've acted with selfishness or that you've broken promises. Maybe you've committed immorality. You could try to forget that you've abused substances, used God's name as a swear word. You could try to forget about the friends that you've hurt, about how you've spoken poorly of people behind their back, held grudges, acted violently, hung out with the wrong people, given the silent treatment, ignored God, overlooked those who needed a friend, cheated to get ahead. But those things still happened, and the calendar doesn't reset. They're still on your record, and that is why Scripture says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In other words, nobody made the nice list. The psalmist writes, he says, there is none who is good, no, not one. And you know what that means? What it means is coal in your stocking forever, but this coal is heated up until it's fiery hot, and I'm not talking about sitting around some sort of a heavenly fireplace. What I'm saying is that without the gift of Christ, we perish forever. Scripture says that the wages of sin is death. Friends, our greatest need is not just a little more good behavior. It's too late for that. Our greatest need is to have the bad behavior erased. Our greatest need is forgiveness. And that is what made the gift of Christ so great. One person wrote, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. The gift of Christ was aimed at our greatest need, forgiveness. We needed a way off this eternal naughty list. And on our own, we could not do it. And this means that the story of Christmas, it's more than just a story about a baby. The story of Christmas, it's the story of a rescue mission. Christ came to earth to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, and that is make the nice list. That's why I'd like you right now to compare your favorite gift that you were thinking of to God's gift of Jesus Christ and ask yourself, which gift met the greater need? And I think it becomes evident very quickly that God gave the greater gift. Well, he didn't only give the greatest gift because it met the greatest need. The gift of Christ also showed the greatest love. We see in our verse that for God so loved the world. That's why he gave Christ. Now, here's what's interesting about this word world. We tend to give our Christmas gifts, or gifts in general, to people who deserve it. So most of you probably give your gifts either to family, or you give your gifts to friends, or you give your gifts to people that you care about. Basically, you're usually giving gifts to people that you think will love you in return. For many of us men, the most valuable gift we will ever give is the ring that we put on our wife's finger. Perhaps no gift is more obviously connected to great love. But I want you to imagine something. Imagine a man taking that ring and putting it on the finger of someone who doesn't love him back. Imagine a man going down on his knees with a ring in front of someone who is hostile to him. Imagine him putting that on the finger of someone who belongs to ISIS and who has hurt his family. Putting that ring on the finger of someone who despises him and who rejects his values. And you say, Barry, why would any man do that? And I say to you, exactly. Why would anyone do that? I don't know, but that's what God did to us. Romans tells us that God showed his love for us while we were enemies. Colossians says that when the gift of Christ was given, we were hostile in mind against God. And this word world, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We tend to think, oh, beautiful blue globe, I'm a part of this, I'm a nice person. But when the writer of John 3:16 uses the word world, and he uses it a number of times, what he means by it is humanity in opposition to God. God's love was such. God so loved the world. And who was it that he so loved? People that were just goody-two-shoes and loved him and were all about him. No, he loved humanity in opposition to God. He loved those who embrace darkness. In other words, God loved the undeserving. That's who he gave his gift to. He put the ring on the finger of someone who was at first hostile to him. Now, the person who gave you your gift may have loved you very much, but I'd like you to compare the love behind your favorite gift to the love behind God's gift in Christ and ask yourself the question, which gift took greater love? Which gift showed greater love? And once again, we find ourselves coming to the conclusion that it was God who gave the greatest gift. His gift met the greatest need. His gift required or showed the greatest love. And lastly, the gift of Christ required the greatest cost. It says that God so loved the world that what? He gave something he bought at the dollar store? Oh, he gave his only son. God actually became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, and that was costly. Augustine wrote about Christ, who was God and yet became a man. Here's what he said. Maker of the Son, he is made under the Son. In the Father, he remains, but from his mother, he goes forth. Creator of heaven and earth, he was born on earth under heaven. Filling the world, he lies in a manger. Ruler of the stars, he nurses at his mother's bosom. He is both great in the nature of God and small in the form of a servant. It was costly for God to become a man. And as a man, Christ paid another great cost. He paid the cost of his life. In 1996, the film Independence Day came out, and that film climaxes with the death of a hero. Because the only way to save the world from these aliens is for a fighter pilot to fly his plane directly into the alien saucer and so explode the bomb that's on the plane. And basically, it was a suicide mission. This fighter pilot went into enemy territory knowing up front he was going to pay the greatest possible cost, his very life. But he did it knowing it was necessary to bring salvation to the world. And Christ, like that pilot, he too came into hostile territory, knowing that he was going to pay with the cost of his life. And he did it to bring salvation to the world. You say, Barry, why was his death necessary? Why not just give us Jesus? Why did he have to die? And the answer is in the verse that we saw earlier, that the wages of our sin really is death. That's the cost of sin, and someone had to pay that cost. And in the person of Jesus, God took that cost on himself. When we look at the cross, we're actually seeing both how seriously God takes sin, that it requires death, it required the death of his son, but we're also seeing how great his love is. We're seeing that God took that cost on himself, and Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He took our place, as it were, on the naughty list, and he swapped places with us. He gave us his spot on the good list. Basically, he took our coal so that we could have his presence. And I'd like you to compare your favorite gift to God's gift of Christ, which required the greater cost. And once again, we're going to find out that it's God who gave the greatest gift. And my invitation to you this morning is that you not waste the greatest gift that was ever given. And I need a volunteer for a moment, someone who doesn't mind tasting something that tastes good and doesn't mind opening a present. Actually, if I could get a couple of volunteers. All right, back there, the two of you, Jack and Zeke, come on up. So have a seat right there, and I have this gift for you. It's right here. How are you enjoying it? Does it taste pretty good? You like it? You're not sure yet? Okay, I'm going to let you open it, but before I give it to them, this is what many people do with God's great gift. They keep it under wraps. They ignore it. They waste it. It sits unopened. Okay, now you guys can open it, and I just want you to know I opened the package that was in there just a little bit ago, so just open it carefully. And if any parents don't want them to taste some sugar, now's your chance to let me know. Go ahead and pull it out. What do you got there? Oreos. Mini Oreos. All right, why don't you each grab one and take a bite, see what you think. You can actually keep that. How are they? Oh, yeah, good enough to do a little dance. Okay, good. Thank you. You guys can go back. You can go back to your seats. Kids, I just used that illustration because that's what we're supposed to do with God's gift of Christ. Not just leave it unopened, not just leave it untasted. God's asking us to unwrap this gift by looking at the truth of who Jesus is and then take it in by believing in Jesus. God has a gift for you, but it's required that we receive it. And so I ask you to receive it by believing in Christ. Don't be stuck with coal forever. Open the greatest gift that was ever given and do that by believing in Jesus Christ. And I want you to forget about Santa wisdom. Because instead of this old fat guy, it was actually God himself. And he came not down from the North Pole. He came down from another realm. He came down from heaven, and he didn't come to reward those who made the nice list, because there was nobody on the nice list. No, he came to rescue those who could not make the nice list. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He became the only man in history who ever earned his place on God's nice list, and then once he earned it, he traded places with us. He looked at you, Chloe. He looked at you, Zeke. He looked at all of us, and he said, you know what? I see that you're in trouble. You didn't make the nice list. Here, take my place. And then he went to the cross, and on the cross, he took the coal that we deserved so that we could receive the presence that he had earned, and what he had earned was eternal life in heaven with God forever. And that's why the greatest gift ever given was Christ himself. Paul writes in Ephesians, by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. The gift of Christ, it was a rescue mission, it was a suicide mission, it met the greatest need, it paid the greatest cost, it showed the greatest love. God gave the greatest gift ever given, himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, and that is why we celebrate Christmas. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your great gift. Lord, it's easy to forget what Christmas is about and get caught up in mangers and little babies and Santa and presents. And God, that's all fun. It's all fine. And yet, God, there was a great gift that was given because of great love and at great cost. And Lord, my prayer is that no one in this room would waste that gift, that none of us would let it sit there unwrapped. If we don't open the gift, we're stuck with coal. And so, God, I ask that each one here would receive the gift of Jesus Christ and that we would have eternal life, as the verse says, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.